Good morning, good morning, and welcome everyone. Welcome everybody on the cameras. Lovely to see so many of you here. So we're just going to start with some scripture and then a prayer. So we're in Job today, and he says, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we've heard a rumor of it with our ears. But God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave to the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and searched it out, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Let's pray. Father God, we come here this morning to learn more of you. We pray that you would be with us and inspire us so that we might have more wisdom and a better understanding as we go out from this place into the world and into the week to share your love with the other people that we meet. Father God, prepare our hearts now to worship you, to sing your praise, and to be your people. In your mighty name, amen.
Lord, I just want to say this morning that for those of us that open our hearts and our minds to receive from you, Lord, come and cleanse, come and heal. Lord, in this moment we just pour out those things that may be troubling us, may be affecting us, Lord, or even if we have seen refreshment and nourishment in you this week, Lord. Just maybe in this quiet moment, we lift that to you. We lift also those things that have trapped us, Lord, that have turned us away from you. Lord, if we've found that we've been caught in sin, we lift it and confess it to you now, Lord. Lord, as we are still now in your presence, we pray again from our hearts that you would come, cleanse and heal. Because, Lord, we're assured by your word that there is no work that is too hard for you. Because all things are possible in and through you. So, Lord, we confess our sins to you. We lift our hearts to you. We lift those things that trap us, that weigh us down, Lord. And we receive from you a right and pure heart. We become nourished from you spiritually. And know, Lord, that only all good things come from you. And so may our hearts be filled with your words, with your joy, your grace, and your mercy. And may from out of the mouth flow from the heart words of righteousness, words of thanksgiving, and words of action. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. as we continue to worship you. May you be glorified in and through all that we do. Lord, we do it for you. We lift your name up on high. Receive this morning in adoration. Amen. Well, let me extend my welcome and good morning to you all. And I just want to thank you, Glenys, for the battle you've been having upon the tech desk there. The tech gremlins are getting in and trying to disrupt stuff, but they haven't got a place, have they? So, well done. Thank you. And you're wondering why Carol isn't here. Well, she's having a bit of a relax. She's been with the grandkids over the week. Hopefully you're watching now, Carol, if not on catch-up. But I've got the unenviable task of doing the notices this morning. No doubt I'll get them wrong, but hey, that's me. I'm not Carol, am I? She does a better job. But just to say that tomorrow morning at 9:30 on Zoom, prayer and meditation, going through with Livy leading us on various things. We're looking at Mark, yeah. Was it not? That's right, it's Mark. So yeah, do invite you to join you. It'll be in the link to the Zoom meeting will be in the update email that will come out tomorrow morning before that. But just look back at the previous ones, it's there as well. There's no mums and tots on Tuesday because it's half term. And just also say that there'll be no prospect service later today either. Looking ahead on the 6th of March, at the end of the service, there's the special church members meeting. All the members would have received information about what it's attaining to and why it's important that we meet for that time there. So if you can, I encourage you to come to the meeting about 12 o'clock, Sunday the 6th of March. And then, of course, we look forward to the 20th of March where we've got our AGM. Again, point to note there that Mark, our treasurer, is looking to restand and needs nominating. We have some nomination slips here, so do come and see us afterwards. Members would be to nominate him, and it would need a seconder from members again. Speaking of members, if you're thinking of membership, come and see and speak to one of the leaders. Over the coming weeks, I myself will be getting around those that aren't members and having a chat with you about that as well. Just the final bit of the AGM report. I need all the reports in, please, by Monday the 7th. You can email it to me on our church email address, or you can give it in handwritten form, chalk and slate, carrier pigeon, whatever you choose to do. But please get them into me by Monday the 7th so I can put it into the report and get that out before the AGM. Another thing, next Sunday we've got our cafe church. So it's going to be different style to what we normally have. For those that you've been to cafe church before, you know what a great time we have of getting around the tables and talking and having conversation with people, and of course being fed with bacon, sausage sandwiches and croissants and pastries and what have you, and copious amounts of tea and coffee. But it's a great way to get interacting and invite people along. It's different, it's less formal, if you like. So next Sunday, 27th, Church Cafe, do come along and do invite people along to that as well. Just one other thing to say, that I'm on annual leave next week, but do get in touch if you need anything with the church mobile. Again, the number's out there in the email and someone will pick that up. But as always, Facebook and the website and everything else is updated regularly, so do get in touch if you need anything. Just before the children go out, we're going to take our offering this morning. And the offering, as we know, is for the wider benefit and goods, not only this church, but the community as well. Father God, we thank you that you first gave to us. May you receive this offering now, Lord. May you receive it, may it glorify your name. Help us, Lord, to discern where and when we may be able to reach out to those that may be in great need, for the upkeep of this place, Lord, but also, Lord, to further your kingdom here where we find ourselves. May these gift offerings be pleasing to you, Lord, and may you send us on our way to reach out to those in great need. We give you thanks for this now. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen. And Lord, we just pray for our children. We give you thanks for them. We give you thanks for the Sunday school leaders. And Lord, as they go out this morning, may you just open their hearts and minds. May they receive you this morning and learn more of you and want to know more of you. So, Father God, we give you thanks for them. May you bless them, anoint them, and encourage them this morning. Give them the strength and the wisdom to hear and to partake. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, kids, if you want to go out, don't terrorize Julie. I do enough of that at home, but it's a different matter. Jan, do you want to come on up? Jan's going to do our reading this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up to page 996.
997. Good morning. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 18. Any pronunciations, please forgive me. Forget them. I'm going to say them with confidence. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Presence has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. Also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defence, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, just as we come to look at that passage then, thanks again, Jan, for reading. Let's just pray. Father God, we open our hearts and our minds to you this morning. May we receive from you. Lord, we've heard your word this morning. This is you speaking to us. Lord, speak deep into our hearts. By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you enable us to learn from what it is you're saying? What does this mean to us today? Lord, help us, we pray. Amen. Well, as you know, we come to the end of our series of Keep the Faith today. We've been looking throughout the last few weeks at what Paul has been saying to Timothy, in particular in the church in Ephesus, and we've looked over a number of things. We've heard how Paul wrote to Timothy, possibly in the final stages of his life, and all that meant there for him. I spoke, if you remember, at the beginning of how we're to hold to the truth and what that means to us, how we're to fan into flame the gift of God, how we're to step out boldly in faith in the name of Jesus Christ and do what he's calling us to do, proclaim the gospel. And the Holy Spirit who is with us empowers us, and this is the authority of God. You'll heard how Livy spoke the other week or a couple of weeks ago on how we're to stand fast and not run away from God and what God has called us to do. We heard three examples of the soldier, the athlete and the farmer and how we must endure and how we must train also, be patient as we work with God and as God works through and with us. And in this, we glorify God and we seek his kingdom come to where we are. Rob reminded us how we'll face hard times ahead, but that people will turn from truth and be lovers of all things of the world, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We're reminded that we are to seek the true word of God, because in everything it equips us for all that God has for us to do. And you'll notice there that it's all of God through Jesus Christ and all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not once have I mentioned that either I said we had to do something, or Rob or Livy had to say something, or anybody else says what we do. But yet it's what God is calling each and every one of us to do. And how we find that? We find that by being in relationship, not only with one another as we discern the mind of Christ, but in relationship with Father God, as I say so many times, through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and how we're to align in that every day. It's a working relationship. It's got to be working, because otherwise it won't work and it'll fall apart, as we hear later on. Well, I wonder what's been good of this series so far. How has it spoken to you? Or has it not spoken to you? What has been difficult? What does it say about God? And where does it leave us with questions or with thoughts? These are the things we need to be looking at and reflecting on and even wrestling with on a regular basis when you come and read God's word and when you sit with God in your time of prayer and reading and with fellowship with each other. This is what we're called to do. This is what he wants us to do. But of course, I guess if it leaves you without any thoughts or opinions, then maybe we've not listened, or quite simply, not interested, or you've become static in faith, that you've possibly tuned into other things, as Paul was saying there. It may seem critical, but there's something to be done about it. We're not to remain static, we're not to grow cold, but to be and fire for God, fanning into flame God's word with not only ourselves and each other, but those that we meet and we come across and journey with. Because it's true to say, I think, that discipleship is, it must be lived out. But of course, it must also be shared also. Discipleship must be lived out, but it must also be shared. This is what God is calling us to. And when we're doing that, we're encouraging, we're empowering, we're anointing people for service to follow Jesus, to be in the presence of peace and the person of peace and sharing in that faith, just as Christ Jesus showed us. Being intentionally obedient, having discipleship as the basis of that, but also based on dialogue and not monologue. And there also is a difference. It's about talking and opening up God's word and allowing it to speak out, not only from ourselves, but into the person's life that we're journeying with, that we're communicating to. God will do the rest. That's not up to us. If they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen. If they're not ready at that point, then that's them. The important thing that we have is that we're prepared to do that. And there is a basis that we can start from. Because there may be many of us that aren't ready to do that or prepared to do that. Because sometimes we may think that our faith is just that. It's our faith. Not theirs or anyone else's. But remember how you first came to Christ. How did Christ first come into your life? How did someone journey alongside you and dialogue, and hopefully not just had it as a monologue, but how was you receptive? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, whether you realized it or not, was working in your lives even then, as he is now. And so God will do what God will do, but you need to be part of that as well. And so that's why the preaching series, if you like, that we have, that Rob and I put together, is not just something that we want to do and that looks fun and good, because sometimes it's not fun and sometimes it's not good. But that it opens up and it helps us get into the deeper part of God's word and into that relationship of what he's calling us to do. To be times, if you like, that he teaches, rebukes, corrects, and to be trained so that we as servants of God can and be fully equipped to do his work, as you recall Rob mentioning last week. Then, of course, there's that long tradition of preachers, I guess, that say maybe what they want or believe without truly communicating the gospel. That's not what it's about. That's certainly not what you'll find from here. But what we have is so crucially, churches seek to reach out to the least, the last, and the lost. And we do that by being equipped. We do that by fellowshipping with one another and encouraging and empowering and anointing one another in Christ's service so that we're able to go out where God is leading us, to the people he's leading us to, and have that dialogue conversation. Unfortunately and sadly, sometimes churches only seek to entertain and gain approval, to appease people. Well, you won't find that here. We're not in the entertainment business. And if you want that kind of stuff, and if you're maybe watching at home, then maybe go back on to Catch Up and watch Saturday Night Takeaway or watch Gogglebox or something. Maybe then you'll be entertained. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is knowing the truth and to worship God, to be refocused, refreshed and refueled each week to go out and do more of what he's calling us to. That's what we're called. We're to take the heart of the gospel and we're to take it to where God is showing us. The heart of that gospel message is very simple. It shows us how God became flesh and dwelt amongst humanity. Jesus Christ. Fully human, fully divine. Only to be denied and nailed to the cross. How entertaining is that for us? How wonderful and joyous is that? That image of a human being being nailed physically to the cross. Any preacher worth their salt will never stop there. Because they'll continue and go on and say, although that's not entertaining, although that was very barbaric, it had to happen. Here comes the greatest thing of all, the resurrection 3 days later, where Jesus arose from the grave in all power and in all authority and stands there because death is not the end. There is where the crucial point comes in, is that he is alive and he is risen. It's not the end at the cross. It was needed. And we may struggle to understand that, why the cross was needed, why someone had to be nailed to it. But the true power comes in the resurrection and how he is alive and risen today. Why? Well, you're all still sat here believing. Look at the reasons why. And you'll see it all points back to Jesus Christ and his gospel message. And so here today, we have this passage. But what I want to do, and if someone's got a Bible open with them, flip back to Matthew 28. And in particular, verses 17 to 20, what do they say? Someone read that out for me. Apologies if you don't quite hear this at home. I'll pick up on it, but it's important. If we're called to go, if we're called to believe in Christ Jesus, then he gives us a very clear message. Matthew 28, we find it. Verse 17, someone read it.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
And is that how it ends there?
19.
Yeah, please. And 20.
20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Gospel truths. This is Jesus. This is Jesus standing before his disciples. He's told them many times, go to the mountain of where I'm telling you to go. So there's a command straight away, the go. And when it says there that they worshipped him when they saw him, but some doubted. Some doubted. But even so, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, is what he says. So this isn't some cobbler coming along with some half-cocked truth. This is the one who came and said throughout the whole of the Old Testament, as you read it, points to and prophesies and foretells that he's going to come. And here he is standing and telling his disciples to go to all people, all nations, all tribes and languages, as Livy said this morning, and tell of the good news. Well, it must have worked because we're all sat and stood here this morning, are we not? And this is 2,000 plus years on. But this is the crux of it. This is what Paul charges Timothy when he says, preach the gospel. It happened because of what Jesus said, where he gives full authority and permission, because he has authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore commands his disciples to go. And that's exactly what he's saying to us today. That's exactly what Paul was saying to Timothy, to carry that on, as you remember back in the earlier parts of 2 Timothy, to hand on the baton, the race of life, if you like. And it's worked. Because here we are some 2,000 years later, doing exactly the same thing. The slight difference is, and the sad thing is, it's waning. And it's been waning for a long time. And it will get to a point, if we carry on, and here's the crux of it, allow it to happen, we'll no longer be preaching the gospel. And it's already happening, because not necessarily here, and if it was, I'd have something to say about it, but there's been different gospels spoken. There's been half-cocked truths given out. People with itchy ears are turning because they don't like the truth. As uncomfortable as it is, they don't like it. So they tune into something or someone else and hear what they have to say instead. And without realizing, drift off. And whilst they're doing that, all in the love of Christ, or we do it all for God, or we do it all for Jesus, or really, take a look at the road you're heading down, because it'll come to a dead end. Jesus is charging here, as Paul reminds Timothy of his calling. As you look at verse 1 of chapter 4, it's he who was called and what is needed to be done, not of his own merit or his own work. Look at verse 1. Because this is where we see that we're not alone in this and that we need to finish the job, because it's here where it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. So he's not on his own. He's in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom. As I say, we're not alone here. Neither is Timothy, and Paul's reminding them of it. And this is what's speaking to us today. We're not alone in this. Here we go. I give you this charge. Preach the word. Almost exactly what Jesus was saying upon the mountain to the disciples. Here is all power and authority given in and through Christ Jesus. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. And he'll do exactly what he said he will do in our lives also. But we need to be part of that. It's not how you think what you want it to be or how you think what you want to say, but being in that relationship with God through Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit interceding in our lives, dwelling within us, to be open and receptive to what God is wanting to say to us and where he's wanting to lead us and what he's wanting to say to those people that we journey with. And I'm sure countless, if not all of you here, could get up and share a testimony of where you've been in a relationship or dialogue with someone. And these words have just come out. And you've spoken them because you've been open and faithful with that. And it's spoken into someone's life. And I guarantee you can also stand here and say, words were about to come out and you've stopped. Because maybe of fear, embarrassment, pride. Fear of the unknown, of what the person may or may not say back to you, of how they may or may not react. And that's not to feel guilty about. We've all been there. And I've done it many a times. And walked off and saying, God, I'm not ready for that. And felt bad for it. But God will still work. Come back and be recharged. And see what he's wanting to do. It's vital that we get in that relationship. Can't emphasize that enough. But this charge that Paul gives to Timothy here, to preach the word, this charge is connected with three facts. It's the reality of the judgment of Christ, the certainty of his return, Christ will return, and the establishment of his kingdom when he returns. And in this, the content that is that charge is set out in verse 2, when you look at it, and it has five other commands, all of which are applicable to ministers of the gospel today. And when I say ministers, yes, I'm an ordained Baptist minister. That's just a title. We're all ministers. We're all ministers of his word and of his grace. This is what he calls each and every one of us to do. It's not just for a few of us, but for each and every one of us. This is what we're called. This is what he's wanting us to do. Don't just look at me as though it's something that I'll do all the time. You also need to play your parts in God's mission, in God's purpose. Ask yourselves why he's got you here. Ask yourselves how he's wanting to use you out in the communities and the front lines where you find yourselves. What is it that he's asking you to do? Because he'll use you. He wants to. He wants to be in that relationship with you. And he wants us to see his kingdom grow here where we are, as it is in heaven. Every one of us who truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that together, members of that heavenly body, with Christ at the head, operating and directing in the way where God will call us to. What does that look like? Take that in for a minute. What does that mean for each and every one of us? And as we contemplate on that, the combination of severity and gentleness that we find here in these charges and these commands, the whole work demands patience and care. Probably some, a lot of us, and I'll hold my hand up and say, I often don't have a lot of patience and care. I've said this many times and I'll keep saying it. There are times when I don't want to do this. There's times when God is calling me to do something and I simply don't want to do it. Sometimes it's a struggle to get out of bed. But when you fan into flame the gifts of God, when you come in that relationship, you can't help but jump up and do what he's calling you to do. Because you know that you've got to finish the job, but that you're not deserted or alone, because he is always with you. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, for a start. So we're not on our own there. God goes before us. Jesus Christ is a lamp for our feet to guide us on the path that God is guiding us onto and leading us onto. And so when we get that into our minds, we can clearly see we're not alone, but that there's a work to do, somewhere to go, to be taken. And when we do that, it's right to say that we will sadly be spiritually and sometimes verbally attacked in our life of service. And I say sadly because sadly it will come more from fellow Christians than it will that those that don't yet believe. And I'm sure we've testimony of that as well. But this is the stark reality of it. And if we think of that, we can also see what lies in verse 3 as what Paul says to Timothy. where he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. These are people that hear and understand that, and that turn against it, not putting up with it anymore. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Paul's telling Timothy, this is what will happen. We're reading it, and God's saying the same thing today. People will no longer put up with it. They want to hear what they want to hear. And they'll gather around them the people. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, is what it says. And yet, many theologians talk about these type of people of wanting knowledge. Instead, what they really want is power. They don't want to come under the authority and power of Christ. They don't want to believe in the truth. But yet, this is the exact truth that set them free in the first place. And yet here, we'll see often in many liberal churches, people proclaiming to have a bit more knowledge or enlightenment than what a dusty old Bible may have to say. And they have more of an input of what God has to say because their word is better than what God's is. I've seen it. It goes on in churches that profess to be alive in Christ Jesus when all they come out with is rubbish. These people have several things in common, unfortunately. They don't tolerate the truth. This is what Paul's saying to Timothy. They're not tolerating the truth. They reject all truth for sensationalism. They want to be entertained. They want to be appeased. And they'll go to places where they'll find it. They're moving away from that. They want a truth that fits their situation and what makes sense for them. You remember back to our Exodus series, when poor Moses is up on the mountain yet again getting the tablets. And yet the Israelites come to Aaron, make us an image of God in what we want, and he creates the golden calf. And we spoke there of what we would have our image of God to be like. We'd want one that's kind of easy and light going. We'd listen to what we want and do what we want instead of us having to listen to God and having to do what he wants. It's all too easy. This is exactly what's going on here. And this is what's going on today, sadly. Such people have a following because they're telling people what their itching ears are wanting to hear. And it may only be one or two people that may actually be in churches doing that and pulling people away from the truth and bending it for themselves, for their own power and following their own myths. But as Rob said last week, God's word provides a way for us in all situations and in all contexts. And when Timothy was faced with people like this, the great opposition that it came with, Paul reminded him in verse 5 to keep his head up in all situations, enduring hardships, doing the work of the evangelist, and charge all duties of his ministries. The call will come. A call from above, from below, from within, from without. It comes because God is calling you to do his work. How are we aligning to that? How are we being open and receptive with that? Because he wants to anoint and equip each of us to do that. And in doing that, we get a glimpse of that kingdom here, where we are. It's not to appease, it's not to entertain, it's hard work. And anyone that says it's not, as we say before, must be lying. Because it is hard work. No one said it's going to be easy. That's why numerous times even Jesus refers to it that this is going to be hard work. To take up your cross daily and follow, we could start there and go on all day with that. But yet to see where God is leading us. And yes, we may feel deserted sometimes, but we're not alone because it's God who commands us to do this work. It's God who leads the way, who provides everything we ever need. He will equip us with everything. We may feel we're going in blindly, but sometimes that's the test of going in. at that instant, God will reveal and give all, to give and empower, to anoint. Not for us, but for the extension of his kingdom, for seeing all people come to know him as we lift his name up on high. Let me finish by saying this. Many of you will hear this and may want to change. And many of you will hear this and will not want to change. Facts of life. It takes a cultural shift and it takes time to do that. And sometimes people don't simply want to change. Either they're afraid of it, they're happy as they are. Well, that's fine. But I guarantee it will grow static. It will not move. Your faith will diminish. God will not necessarily abandon you, but will no longer use you to do his work. He will find those that are being receptive and are wanting to do that, and will move mountains in doing that. And the problem with that is, if that continues and your ears then start itching to hear something else, and you start moving away from the truth and from the work that we're set out to do and where to finish, then in years to come, it will die out and it will be no more. And the legacy that will be left is that you shut your ears up and weren't interested in what God had to do. And I think here, there's a lesson. People will come and people will go. As I say, not everyone will want to take part in what God is doing. Not everybody likes change. But what we need to do, we need to remember that it is God who is the one that is calling. We are to discern together as a fellowship of where God is leading each and every one of us, individually on our front lines, collectively as the body of church here in SBC. And see how we can move out and do what is calling us to do. Part of our walk in faith in Jesus. To anoint and to affirm and to encompass one another and commission each other for his works. So let us be changed. Let us allow God in to lead us, to direct us, to guide us as we see where he's going to take us. Of course, COVID came and disrupted our way of life. We can't deny that. But there's a way forward from this. There has to be, because otherwise we remain static. We can take the positive and we can move out and seek what, where and when next. Know that we're not deserted or alone, but that God is with us and will always be us. To step out in the boldness of Christ. Know that it's not up to a certain few people to do that, but that each of us have a part to play, or not only in the life of the church, but out in our outreach, out in the community. Seeing the possibilities of transformational lives in the incarnate, risen Lord Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this one question. Where do you see this church in the next 5 years? Come back to me on that when you think you have an answer or you want to discuss it further, because these are serious questions we need to look at. Where do we see this church in the next 5 years? Let's pray. Father God, we just bring to mind the words of Paul to Timothy. We bring to mind the words of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to the disciples. And we're reminded time and time again that there is a command to go, to preach the word in whatever form and in whatever way that looks like, but in dialogue and not monologue. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would refresh us and anoint us with your Holy Spirit. For those that are yet to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, come and have your way. May your Spirit descend upon us right now. whether we're in this building, whether we're sat at home, it matters not. Though we may be scattered, we gather together, and in our gathering, Lord, we seek you in all ways. So, Lord, fill us, use us, enable us to open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. And, Lord, send us to where you would have us go. Help us to journey with people. Help us to seek the social injustices that go on and bring about your word and your care, your mercy and your grace. Lord, then, what would that look like? We ask that you would reveal that to us. We ask us, Lord, that you enable us to hear, that you charge us to go. You command us to go and share in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be a part of that, I pray. Amen. And as we come around the Lord's table, we pray, Lord, that our chains have been broken. We are set free, not by anything that we have done or said, but by your amazing grace. Lord, we give you thanks that we can stand free and counted as righteous sons and daughters, heirs and graces of the heavenly assurance. That, Lord, eternity will come to all who believe, that we will reign with you in heaven. Lord, we recount this day that all authority and power is blessed and given to you. And through that, Lord, you chose to set each of us free. Lord, how can we recount that cost? Lord, it's too big to comprehend. But Father, we know that as we gather around your table, Lord, it's not us that invites you, but that you now become host. And you, Lord, invite us. And so we say, come all who are welcomed and worthy to gather around the Lord's table. It's he who invites each and every one of us. It's Jesus that holds out his hand and says, brother, sister, son, daughter, come. Come and be nourished. Come and be fed. Not because you can, not because you must or you should, but because you may. Because it's he who invites. And so, Father God, as we gather at this table to celebrate your life, the life of you in this world, made flesh and blood, embodied in us. Lord, we come to remember the body that was broken, the hands that touched the untouchable, healed the hurting and did no violence. The arms that are welcomed the stranger in and embrace the outcast. We remember the legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations. Eyes that blazed against injustice. Eyes that knew how to cry and saw the potential in everyone. Lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world. This blessed body that was broken, abused and rejected, we come to remember, for we are called to be the body of Christ. As you, the risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember yours. Not only at this table, but in our life together. May we embody your kingdom and remember your life in and throughout the whole world. Amen. And as we remember and as we recount quite often, And in particular, as Jesus was sat at the table, or reclined at the table, as it says, they were eating. And Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said that this is my body. Take and eat. And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And he goes on and says, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. What a blessed assurance that this is a new covenant that Jesus enacted for us today and for all generations until he comes again. And he says he's not partaken of it until he can drink it anew with us in his Father's kingdom. So we remember of what he did for each and every one of us and for all generations to come. Here's the importance of sharing his word, his life with each and every one that we come to. But here in this moment together we gather, and even at home, if you have your bread and wine with you, though we may be scattered, we still gather together and remember together the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, as he did on that night, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Take and eat. And in the same way, he took the cup and said, this is my blood, which is poured out as a new covenant. Drink and remember. And so often as we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of the Lord's death until he comes again and until he will drink it anew and afresh with us in his kingdom. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for these elements that we will take in remembrance of you. The bread is your body, broken from one loaf, one body. The blood taken from you in one cup, poured out for all, for the forgiveness of sins, once and for all. Lord, as we partake in this, may we too remember the cost, the price of your death upon that cross. But may we also recount with joy at the resurrection and the promise and assurance that one day when we are all united in your heavenly home, that we too will drink it anew together. Lord, we thank you for your ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for the gift that you have given us. May we remember all that that means to us now. Amen. So let us take the bread and let us take the wine. We eat the bread as we receive it, and we'll hold the cup and retain it together as a sign of our unity, and we'll drink that together. Pauline, would you help with this, please? Blood of Christ, sacrificed and shed for each. Take and receive. As we lift the blood of Christ, let us drink in remembrance of his life poured out for each and for all, the blood of Christ. Father God, we give you thanks that as we find ourselves at the table, being nourished, replenished and refilled, revitalized. Lord, we thank you that through your death and resurrection, we are able to come before you, that we gather as we hear your word and as we share in your sacrifice. Lord, help us to go. Help us to preach your word, Help us to journey along those that we journey along with. In the easy times, in the difficult times, in the times of laughter and in the times of sorrow. Knowing, Lord, that we're never deserted or alone. But surely and always, until the very end of age, you will be with us. Lord, we thank you that we can find ourselves counted as brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, heirs and graces of your heavenly inheritance to each of us. Help us and remind us to keep on track for the work you have us to do. Help us, Lord, to be open and receptive to where it is we can reach out with your love. Lord, we want to lift your name on high, and in doing so, all people will be gathered to you. We thank you that we play a part within that. So, Lord, have your way. And Lord, we think of the wider world that we reside in, the troubles, the ongoing communications that are happening, in particular between Ukraine and with Russia. Lord, we pray that your peace would come upon the hearts and the minds of all involved. I may be too late in saying this, but I pray that not one bullet nor one rocket would be fired in anger against your people, humanity. Lord, the result of war is death in whichever way we look at it. Lord, would you bring about your peace? Holy Spirit, would you sweep across this world, across these nations, and bring about peace and understanding? We talk of a culture change. My goodness me. With man, it is impossible, but God, we know with you, all things are possible. And so we pray earnestly. Come, Lord, and have your way. Restore the chaos upon this world. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters that may be trapped in these environments. And we know that this isn't the only conflict that goes on. There are many more around the world. But Lord, we pray safety and protection. We thank you for the countless testimonies of how people come to know you, often through these delicate situations. And so we think of the people, Lord, of Ukraine and of Russia. And Lord, we ask that your will be done. Lord, we pray for things maybe closer to home in this country. We pray, Lord, over these last week with the storms and the damage that it's caused, and sadly, again, the loss of life. We pray for those that grieve. We pray for those, Lord, that are left without. Lord, would your hand and your provision be upon them? We pray that as we continue to hopefully, safely emerge from this pandemic, Lord, that you would guide us and show us the right way. Help us, Lord, to bring about a difference and a change. And Lord, we think of closer to home. Our loved ones, Lord, that may be ill at the moment or that are waiting for results or even scans yet to come. For those that have had operations recently, Lord, we just pray your healing hand upon each and every one. Guide us and protect us, we pray. And Lord, help us in these coming days and weeks ahead to go out to all places you call us to in the boldness and the strength of you, Lord Jesus Christ. May we see your kingdom come. So Lord, we lift these prayers and all those that are said from our hearts, Lord. Receive them. Bless us. May we go in peace out to do your will. For your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. It's been great fellowshipping with each of you this morning. We give thanks to, again, the worship band and to the tech team at the back for doing an amazing job and keeping patience whilst dealing with the necessary things. do stay around for drinks afterwards and chat, and we'll love to carry on talking with you. But for now, do take care. Have a great week. Stay safe. God bless.